participation of women in politics and political leadership has continued to experience challenges as the number of women in elective positions in Kenya has remained relatively lower even after the adoption of the 2010 Constitution. The achievement of two-thirds gender rule has remained an illusion. According to data provided by the UN on Political Economy Analysis on Women Political Participation in Kenya 2023, the election of women into political positions is still low, though it has seen slight improvement in the last three sets of elections. The sum of elected women in Kenya from members of county assembly to governors was 154 in 2013, 179 in 2017, and 200 in 2022 general elections. Despite the rise, women aspirants face several challenges in the dynamic political landscape. These challenges impact them negatively. Sexualized online harassment is one toxic aspect that contributes to this. Cultural and social norms, violence and intimidation, financial constraints, media bias and politics, family balance, among others, are some of the driving factors. In this investigative piece, we delve into the impact of sexualized online attacks on women in politics. We begin the journey in Kiambu County. Here, I talk to Wanjiko Thiga, a youthful leader aspiring to impact her community. Thiga was a victim of sexualized online attacks when she vied for a political post in Kiambu in the 2022 general elections in Kenya.
My name is Wanjiko Thiga. I'm a young woman who's involved in politics. I come from Kiambu County, a constituency known as Juja. That is where actually I ran for office. I really believe in the benefits of having a balanced parliament in Kenya, and that's why I'm on the forefront championing for matters around leadership and political participation of women, especially young women. I'm also a communications gender specialist. I use communications to create advocacy and awareness on matters involving young people and women. And above all, I'm a political inclusion advisor. I am glad that we are talking about this. In 2022 politics, people said that, oh, you know, this time the elections were not violent. But people forgot that, yes, there was no physical violence, but violence went online. Targets were women. So politics was violent, but it was just now online. And it was heavily sexualized. And it's pretty demoralizing that when you go through sexualized harassment, from my end and where I stood, felt shameful. Because when I was going through sexual defamation, people would say, you know, tell that girl that the SG of the party is a married man. So you see, they're already insinuating that maybe you're a homebreaker or they're trying to put yourself at the mass in a sexualized way at the SG. They're not seeing you as the leader that you are, but they're already morally humiliating you.
Scholastica Muthoni, a sitting member of Nairobi County Assembly representing Mukuru kwa Ruben slums in Nairobi, has been in politics since 2007. She clinched the seat on her fourth attempt. She shares her understanding of sexualized online attacks.
Kwa majina yangu naitwa Scholastica Muthoni, mama ambaye amechaguliwa kwa Ruben Ward katika Embakasi South Constituency. Wakati mtu anaongelea mambo ya mashambulizi,
when people mention sexual harassment, they are referring to offensive words that are often used, especially insults related to sex between men and women.
Yanahusiana na katika tendo la ndoa kwa mwanaume na mwanamke.
In the political arena, it's common for people to insult you, calling you names like prostitute or accusing you of sleeping with other people's husbands. It becomes hard to clear your name, especially when such claims go viral on social media, even though they are completely false.
From the capital, I went to Western Kenya, where we met Catherine. Catherine has a physical disability that has denied her the ability to walk without the help of crutches. The mother of one has not let her state of disability dissuade her from aspiring to make an impact in her community. She too has not been spared by the sexualized online attacks.
My name is Catherine Amai Shiundu. Catherine Amai Shiundu is a woman with physical disability. I'm 40 years old now. I come from Kakamega County, Mumias East Sub-County, Malai Songo Makunga Ward. Currently, I'm an officer in the National Registration Bureau, Registration for Persons. Besides that, I'm an advocate for persons with disabilities. That's where my passion lies. I'm a volunteer at Kakamega County Disability Caucus, where I serve as Secretary General. I'm a grassroots upcoming feminist. I am a champion in gender-based violence. I'm also a champion in leadership, engagement, and policy. And also what I do most is just to fight for the rights of the learners with disabilities within my village. I started getting interest of politics way back in 2007, where I first voted, and I was very much excited with my vote in 2007. I also developed a lot of interest in being a leader in political line, because I thought that that's the only line you can serve a wider range of people, and you can reach directly to your people, and you have power to talk to anyone. And maybe you have that opportunity and chance to meet more people to come on board and support you, grassroots people. But in 2013, I was very active in politics. I didn't vie. In 2017, I developed interest to vie completely and said I have to give it a trial. But because of so many challenges, I did not even reach to the nomination or make it even to nomination. Mm-hmm. Because of challenges. In political line, as a woman with a disability, mm-hmm. it is very challenging. Anytime I want it, I feel like maybe there is something people will talk about, I need to go back. Mm-hmm. There is something people want, maybe I need to go back. So the journey has had so many obstacles. But I'm hoping that someday I'll be there mm-hmm. and I'll lead. When I developed interest in politics 2013, I was just a young, youthful lady with a disability. And being a woman with disability in politics, without maybe some things, traditional expectations, you might not see the light of the day. One, I faced sexual harassment or bullying, especially on social media platforms. People could talk about my life. People talk about this woman. They even don't call you a woman.
A closer look into the lives of these women and their families takes us through the impact of these sexualized attacks in their lives. Wanjiko Vega, Scholastica Mande, and Catherine Nasimiu share how these attacks manifested in their lives and their immediate reactions to them.
It's when I realized I'm not sleeping. I became so obsessed with what people are saying about me on social media. And looking back, that is a mechanism that male political candidates weaponize mm-hmm. on female candidates. They get your mind off the political campaign. They make you so obsessed on what are people saying online that they get you off your game. So I'm not concentrating on getting voters. I'm concentrating on defending myself. And I realized I wasn't sleeping. And I did this mental wellness check and my counselor asked me. There were prompts of questions she asked me. And I started realizing, yo, by the way, I'm not sleeping. Because maybe after campaign trail, I get home at midnight. I'm returning calls because I haven't been able to be on my phone all day. I'm getting to social media now. I'm looking what are people saying. And because I was going through sexual harassment, you are finding unwarranted sexual comments. I'll find, you see, memes or misinformation or kind of hate comments. So for me, I'm just wondering, why are people saying such comments? you know, why can't somebody look at me the way they have seen this male other candidate and just ask leadership questions, mm-hmm. not do you have any child, who's funding you, me I want this black beauty, the other one is there, this time round we are voting in a virgin. You know, it's just bordering on funny comments. And at the end of the day, your family is on these platforms as well. Your partner is on this platform as well. And you see people even spreading malicious comments and rumors that you were seen with this so-and-so yesterday. And it's untrue. So, you know, it gets you off your game. I wouldn't sleep. And then I started getting anxiety. I was always having anxiety and panic attacks. So that means that you're fully not present for your campaign. And that's when I realized this is getting to me. And now I have to do something about it.
Wakati wa kwanza nilikuwa inakuwa ni ngumu zaidi
hata unasikia ni kama difficult and I felt like abandoning the journey midway. However, as I learned the dynamics of politics, I realized the need to stay motivated because opponents look for ways to demean you. The psychological impact is profound, as it affects both your mental and physical health. For instance, during campaigns, you may find defamatory statements about you spreading rapidly on social media, which raises doubts about whether to persist or quit. As a parent and grandparent, I worry about the impact of these statements have on my family, particularly my grandchildren, who also access social media.
Towards
the end of the campaign, my health had deteriorated to the point where I required hospitalization. It's not an easy journey for women.
Yes. You know, we are in social media platforms.
The use of WhatsApp was prevalent because it's a highly localized platform here. We have large groups and a blogger can choose to send messages across all these groups talking about you. People have already discussed my disability, referring to me as that disabled woman. She has no children, she has no husband, and she's an alcoholic. These comments have been made about me.
So sometimes they even make you fear even to make decisions on those platforms.
Consequently, it can make you hesitant to engage in decision-making on these platforms. You may enter discussion and out of nowhere, someone attacks you with derogatory language, which then spreads across social media.
In the past few years, I had no child, no home of my own. And I was at home. I used to stay with my parents. And some people could talk, or they talk even right now. If they see me at any space, they say those things.
These attacks did not only affect these female politicians, but also had an effect on their families.
My name is Priscilla Diga. When Wanchiko got into this political space, I knew nothing of, you know, whatever I was getting myself into. Oh, it was very toxic. It's haunted me till now. I knew it would be difficult, but I just didn't know how difficult it would be. Degrading her morality, stripping her and making her nothing but, you know, that world that you want to degrade, to humiliate. So I was on all social media platforms. I was in Facebook, I was in the WhatsApp groups. I did come across this fabrication. It was very, very sad because, you know, it is firsthand. I'm reading them. It really did disturb me. Once I came across a post on WhatsApp group talking about she belongs in a modeling agency. She does not deserve to be in the political arena. Some of the people would respond with the only thing she can do is sleep with the rest of the people so that she can get where she wants to be. And I remember feeling so mad. I remember telling her, Shko, I can't do this. I have to get out of this space because I'm hating these people. Because I'm seeing this take a toll on her. It's taking a toll on me, my fellow siblings at home. So it was just cruel. Mentally, we were all disturbed because we would see her sad. I also had to, you know, seek professional help. We all have smartphones. We all could access and we all saw it. So it was a really bad time. We would sit down, even eating. We were all quiet.
it's taken a toll. The environment is very heavy. People are not talking. We are not okay. It's affecting everybody. I didn't know how bad my anxieties could get. Even my own mom. When she was talking about a time where we had to rush her to the hospital at 3 a.m. In the hospital, then she got a panic attack. My mom started screaming. I'm going also on a panic mode. What do we do? It was all so new and all so bad. As soon as the elections were done, I deleted all the social media apps. I had to get out of that space. It was too much. I have never till date, by the way, gone to Facebook and searched. Why? It will take my mind back to 2022 and, you know, that trauma we all went through. It's going to slowly come back and it was not a good time. So I can't find myself going through.
Kwa majina najulikana kama Susan Wambui. Mimi ni dada ya MC wa Ruben Ward Scholastic Amazoni.
To be honest, it is very challenging for our family. While we are not politicians, she is, and yet the whole family becomes involved. For instance, a brother of ours, Deko, was accused of being a thief, and it escalated to the point where he was nearly shot. It was the women who intervened, grabbed him, and placed him in safety. When it comes to name calling, you find yourself being labeled in various ways. This is difficult for the family, particularly because many people in Ruben are familiar with one another. When I'm walking or using my phone, I sometimes see posts from people I know, and I realize they are spreading falsehoods. Before I got accustomed to this, I would approach them either via inbox or in person to inquire why they are spreading lies. I would ask what truth there is in what they've posted. If it is a personal matter, why not resolve it privately rather than airing it on social media? Initially, it was very difficult. As a human being, when you see something that angers you, it affects you emotionally, and you have to release that anger. Personally, I confront them and ask directly. Sometimes I wonder why people address me just because I'm the MCS sister. Prior to this, I never encountered such issues.
I'm Mr. John Orure Otieno. I'm the personal assistant of Honorable Clastika Mudoni for Ruben Ward MCA. All the time, the thing is, it was sexual attack. There was a lot of harassment on the side of sexual because that's the first harassment I witnessed. It was just online, everywhere. You see people, they have interest. There are those who had interest. These people that were trying to look all the ways how they can attack her indirectly using the youths. To some extent, you assume, because when you react hard, sometimes your electorates will fear you. They attack you, but what it is that you see, that what is the main source why this person is attacking me? And how can you handle this issue? You must handle the issue in a very amicable way. Because somebody is shooting something, to expect how is your reaction after that. But if they see that you don't take it very bad, then they feel okay with you. But when they see that somebody has attacked you, then you move very fast to the extent that now your expectation maybe to arrest that person is now you're not a good leader.
Data from the Communications Authority of Kenya from January to March 2024 shows that cyberbullying, which is the most common form of online misogyny, ranks at 27.8% of digital investigation trends. According to this report, Facebook is still the leader in popularity among Kenyans, followed by WhatsApp, YouTube in third, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter in fourth, fifth, and sixth, respectively. According to the data, there has been an increase in cases of cyberbullying, primarily via Facebook, X, Telegram, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, various blogs, and WhatsApp. Contrary to the report given by the government of Kenya on online harassment platforms, these women had a different story.
Let me tell you the truth. You see, what is being said online, how you're sexualized, it transcends to ground. Because now I started facing physical sexual harassment from masses. Because now they can see the conversation online. When you go on ground, now people don't take you with the value of leadership. They take you as some girl. Because I remember I was forcefully kissed twice on my campaign. I think the first time I was trolled for 3 days consecutively. I was trending on all village WhatsApp groups, on all Facebook groups. And, you know, at constituency level, I think they even broached to county level. And the first thing I felt was a bit ashamed because my brother was among my bloggers. So he would see all this kind of content. And I remember entering on social media and seeing my brother defend my morality. And I just read comments people are saying, and I just thought, what is my brother thinking about me? And my sisters were also defending me online, and I just asked myself, what are they thinking that their sisters is being called all these things? And I just felt humiliated and ashamed. And I remember calling them and telling them, guys, I need you to pull back. And you know, for them now, it's personal. Yes. So you find them, they're there on your defense and they're not quitting. I just thought they need counseling too, not just me for mental wellness, even for them. It's affecting them. But where is the money for that? But the truth of the matter is your family gets affected as well. My mom wasn't online, but I did not talk to her about it because my mom, at any minor inconvenience, would tell me, get off the political trail. So I realized I can't tell her the bad things that are happening because for her, it's protection that will kick in. The people who troll you and, you know, carry all these kinds of online attacks are part of your citizenry. There are people who are preferring another candidate than you, people who believe that women shouldn't lead. You will see that there are people, of course, who will come out to try and defend me. I had now to increase my security. And now that goes back to campaign financing and why, for women, you invest more than men. Unlike men, maybe he will have to, but I had to have about 4 or 5. And at the same time, I felt even more at peace with female security around me. So I had to have 1 or 2. And I could see they understood what sexual harassment was. So online sexual attacks do transcend to the physical end at the end of the day. During campaign times, it was the WhatsApp groups. You see these WhatsApp groups that we have at community level. And I will tell you for free, WhatsApp groups were the most toxic. And I had to withdraw from all, you know, from constituency level, from county level to the village level WhatsApp groups. That's where the trolling is at. You see, maybe an X space is a bit elitist. But WhatsApp group at village level, it's not. It's everybody who's involved. The ward admins, that is their main mode of communication. So you find our ward admins at community level are very engaged in bringing everybody within the community into a one WhatsApp group so that the communication is seamless. That's where the violence is propagated. So I would say, first of all, for me, it's WhatsApp, followed by Facebook, and then followed now by X at the end of the day. So these are platforms that people use to really, really humiliate women politicians. For me, it was a lot of narratives, and that's what was used to really degrade me. There were few images used. I also really did my best not to be in any compromising situation.
These incidents primarily occur on WhatsApp, where individuals form groups and opponents utilize these WhatsApp platforms to target you. They don't confront you directly, but use young people to do so. A majority of these discussions and accusations emerge from WhatsApp.
So hapo wanaweka kwa hiyo group ya WhatsApp sababu ndio iko katika ile area umechaguliwa.
This platform dominates the area where you've been elected, and they use it to damage your reputation and discredit your professional work. As a parent with grown children who are also active on social media, it inevitably affects the family. Some of them zile mambo zinafanyika kwa mitandao. We want to exit these WhatsApp groups because engaging in disputes with young people will appear as if we are defending you. Therefore, we remain silent, although we are deeply disturbed by what transpires online.
Maybe,
for instance, if a woman is seen with a man, society will praise the man for his actions simply because he is male. However, the woman's name will go viral, and only she will bear the brunt of the shame. You will hear, Mudhoni was caught with Kamau, but Kamau's name will fade while Mudhoni's name continues to be tarnished. This fear of public humiliation causes many individuals, especially women, to hesitate in pursuing politics. When a woman is accused of being with a young man, others may even fabricate false accusations to ruin her reputation. As a result, many women are adversely affected, with some eventually opting to leave politics altogether.
It was WhatsApp.
The use of WhatsApp was prevalent because it's a highly localized platform here. We have large groups, and a blogger can choose to send messages across all these groups talking about you. People have already discussed my disability, referring to me as that disabled woman. She has no husband, she has no children, and she is an alcoholic. These comments have been made about me.
So sometimes they even make you fear even to make decisions on those platforms. You go into a conversation with people and somebody from nowhere attacks you.
Consequently, it can make you hesitant to engage in decision-making on these platforms. You may enter a decision, and out of nowhere, someone attacks you with the derogatory language, which then spreads across social media. In this locality, WhatsApp usage is widespread, and it's common to experience this kind of defamation. When your name is tarnished on social media, by the time you interact with the people on the ground, you may feel extremely demoralized, and it impacts your self-esteem.
Contrary to the popular belief that these attacks happen in spaces because users have no bond with the victims, Viga, Nasimio, and Mande say that their vicious attackers were not only people who knew them well, but some of them even family members. The longevity of the lifespan of the abusive content on social media has left a far-reaching mark on the lives of its victims, as they explain.
The people who troll you and, you know, carry all these kinds of online attacks are part of your citizenry. These are people I know. If you go and report them, you know, the mother will say, you know, this girl is looking for a political seat. She wants to lead us, but she's taking our young men to jail. What if she gets power? She will really oppress us. So you decide, do I want justice or do I want votes? So for me, it was mixed feelings because they're part of the citizenry that I want to lead, but the first thing that will do is sexualize me.
Here there are two issues. One is those friends you were politicking with, whose expectations were high that if the Honorable is elected, she will be giving me maybe a particular thing. These are part of the ones that unite, get aside, and start attacking you.
Wanaenda kando sasa kuanza mashambulizi ya kukushambulia. Wale wengine ni wapinzani wako. Wanatumia.
The others are your opponents. They use the youth without coming to you directly. I am raised here, so I know the women and the youth, and I can tell if they are not representing themselves.
Sasa unaona huyu mtu ile vitu anafanya si yake.
Sometimes back in 2019, when I was burying my father, a prominent politician I respect so much, and who happens also to be my uncle in the extended family, told the congregation that, mjomba, nataka upate bwana, akuje kwa hii boma, alete ngombe, nimpatie ngombe ya ujomba, na pia nipate wajukuu, nikupatie baraka. Hapo kingia kwa siasa, utakuwa sawa. That means that you are not married, you don't have a child, therefore you are not ready for politics.
Sexualized attacks on women in politics have become an issue of concern nationally, but there are those trying to fight for the rights of these women. Quinta Mbori is the director of Association of Media Women in Kenya, AMWIK, an organization dealing with these issues heads on.
My name is Quinta Mbori. I am an award-winning gender equality advocate. I'm also a multimedia journalist, a certified media trainer, I'm a mentor, The role that I play is actually executive director at the Association of Media Women in Kenya. Now, AMWIK is the national membership association for all women in the media, communications, PR, academia, related fields. We have our members in all the 47 countries in Kenya. So we have partners across the board globally. And we operate around 5 thematic areas, which include media, development and membership, gender and governance, women's economic empowerment, sexual reproductive health and rights, and digital safety and security. And of course, any other emerging areas. Sexualized online attacks. These are attacks that are directed towards a specific gender. They are sexual in nature, in the sense that the attackers tend to touch onto anything that is linked to your sex, biologically or gender. They come in different forms. Online harassment is a form of sexual and gender-based violence. The only thing is, the gender-based violence we are used to happens offline. But now when these attacks cross over onto the online space, by the very nature that we are describing sexualized online attacks, they happen on the online space. They take different forms. Online attacks and offline attacks, they are perpetrated by the same people. And the agenda is the same: to cause harm, to frustrate, to demoralize, and to minimize your activity so that you're not able to fully enjoy your human rights. Politics, by nature, is very patriarchal, particularly to women politicians. Politics in itself is very gender biased because it tends to promote men as opposed to women. There are communities that still believe to date that women should not join politics. For them to join politics, they must seek consent. If they actively participate, then there are certain boxes that they must tick. One, are you married? Do you have children? Do you have permission? For that reason, women are vulnerable when it comes to navigating the political landscape in this country. So the reason why women are predisposed to online violence, first of all, is because they are public figures. The moment you're in politics, now you become subject to public scrutiny. That, not to excuse people who are badly behaved, because as a leader, I mean, there are certain principles that you must stand by. But what I'm trying to say is the online space gives everyone a chance to mesh attacks to these women, even where it is not deserved. Social media is good for women because in terms of actively taking part in the social media space, it has given women a platform where we can actually sell our agenda, discuss our issues, because the social media is a very personal space. So even women politicians, particularly the new ones, or the first timers who do not have enough content to make it to mainstream, if you know it's very competitive, social media platform offers an alternative where they can still speak to their constituents and speak through the issues that they're presenting in their manifesto at their own pace. It's limitless. However, social media is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it offers opportunity. On one hand, it is a platform that now these keyboard warriors we're talking about are using to attack these politicians. They want to silence them. Because what has happened, again, is a lot of women who have been victims of technology facilitating gender-based violence, they tend to self-censor themselves. They move out of the social media spaces altogether. They cannot actively take part in the democratic process unless you're properly empowered to manage yourself in terms of how to navigate the online space. Not many people have that information. So one attack and they're out. They do not have the tools and the skills, you know, to navigate that space. So it is for that reason that women in politics are constant victims of attack on the online space, because just being a woman alone is a risk factor. Two, being in politics puts you in the limelight. So you also must understand how you can navigate that space as a woman in politics with the right tools. And maybe that is where I'm coming from.
The United Nations under the UN Women has stepped into the fight.
My name is Christine Okeno. I work with UN Women. Currently, I'm working as the team lead on a program called Ending Violence Against Women and Girls, UN Women Kenya Office. First and foremost, let me just mention to you some worrying trend. A research conducted back around 2019-2020 by UN Women in Africa found that about 73% of women had been exposed to some form of online violence. And this is back then. But in terms of the forms, a study by UN Women also found that hate speech, this is publishing of blasphemous issues against women, hacking and identity theft, including online stalking or online harassment, are some of the most common forms of online violence. But a more recent study by FIDA during the electoral period in 2022 found that up to 23% of women who had experienced violence during elections reported cyberbullying being the most common form. Speaking to women in politics post-2022 elections, they experienced a lot of violence. A lot of them are mentioning Facebook. And this is not a vindication of the platforms in themselves per se, but it's just the platform that most Kenyans are using. So you'll find, of course, where the majority of Kenyans are. That is the majority of where maybe the politicians are using for their work and their campaign. So they are also very susceptible to attacks in those platforms. WhatsApp is a really big thing because people often have these community groups and such kind of things. So you find whatever is started, people are forwarding it, right? I know a lot of the younger and the urban generation are on Twitter currently, so a lot of violence also has been mentioned therein, and we know how vicious it can be. I think that 2022, there was a study by one of our UN partners that found Kenyans on Twitter being amongst the most vile in terms of cyberbullying, not just against women in politics, but generally. And I think we are among the countries that are usually proud by saying we drove our former president out of Twitter. Can you imagine what kind of bullying it is, how bad it is for a whole president at that point to deplatform and deactivate his account? How much more worse can it be against a mere woman? So it just tells you how serious the issue is and how those platforms can be very toxic and the effects of cyberbullying.
They further shared findings into what accelerates these attacks.
Constantly, AMOC is always, you know, trying to keep up with the times. Right now, we are working with our partners. We're already conducting reaction research on technology facilitated gender-based violence. And the research will be launched in the coming months, but the preliminary findings are shocking. Now, the attacks actually have moved now to the WhatsApp forum. It's very exciting. It's moved now to the TikTok platforms, which didn't even exist a couple of years ago. Is the trends change from time to time? I can confidently report that maybe 2-3 years ago, going by the statistics, majority of the attacks, particularly around the electioneering period in Kenya, were linked to the back in the day, it was called Twitter. I think the reason for the attacks happening on that platform maybe is because of the nature of the keyboard warriors, which we talked about earlier. These are people who are informed, intelligent, have information on these women in politics and other victims. And then because of the shareable nature, there's a lot of misinformation, people coming up with false information and spreading it. Right now, if you look at how these platforms operate, they are so much in sync in the sense that it's easy to do the cross-platform sharing. Going by the preliminary findings from this research that AMOC is currently conducting, the most shocking finding was that the attacks have now moved to the WhatsApp forum. So most of these forms of abuse, they move with the volumes where everybody is moving, and that is where the numbers go up. When it comes to online abuse, the impact of having that targeted attack is so destructive on the victims. When somebody attacks you directly, as opposed to being attacked by somebody you don't know, it is very different. Personal digital safety and security starts with you. And majority of women in politics, they go in without that information. So there's so much information that the perpetrators can use to attack them. The thing about the digital space is how what would affect you today, in the coming 2-3 years, it completely changes.
Because of the AI, somebody can manipulate, and it is very hard for you to discredit or say this is a fake photo. Not choosing to participate in politics or other leadership positions, who then is representing women's issues? The nature of this kind of violence, it changes very fast. As technology is advancing, it is the difficult bit of comprehensively addressing online violence, the issue of reporting. And our research that I mentioned there earlier on, the UN Women, says that only 1/3 of women who experience violence reported. So out of the 73% that have experienced some form of violence, less than a third are reporting. And why? They say that the issue of stigma and victim shaming and blaming, you know, some of them even say that we have normalized violence, both offline and online, to the point of even when you violate me, I don't think it's violence, but I look at it like it's not violence. We have those who say that they are not even aware it is a crime. There are those who say, yes, I know I was violated, but where do I report? And then there are those who say, we tried reporting, but it is trivialized by the authority, so they don't feel like it is enough. That's why they don't bother reporting. And then also the trivialization. I mean, you are a woman in the public eye. What do you expect? So when you're told that it comes to the territory, what happens? You normalize it as well. So you don't see it as an offense.
Both the victim and the human rights organizations agree that law enforcement institutions have let their guard down in this work.
I want to make a very political statement that in this country, gender equality, diversity issues are not taken seriously. There are laws, then there are what I would call gendered laws. When you come down to the gendered aspects of this law, they will not be taken seriously. Now, the other thing that this country has is a set of beautiful laws housed in our constitution. Now, for digital safety and security, we have many legislative frameworks. Now, having one law is one thing. Now, implementing these laws is quite another. There lies one of our biggest challenges.
Our laws have been stagnant. Are they comprehensively addressing these emerging issues? For instance, we are currently supporting NCJ. NCJ is the National Council Administration of Justice. There's a task force that was appointed by the Chief Justice to review the Sexual Offences Act and other forms of GBV. We are currently one of the UN agencies, together with others, supporting that review. And one of the issues is that they need to include tech-facilitated violence into our laws on addressing sexual offences. To ensure that laws are comprehensively addressing that is very important, because otherwise then you will have perpetrators continuing to do what they do. The victims or survivors are reporting, but the law is not addressing that. Or the law is like, what offence is this? There's nothing covering it. Or if it is covering it, not comprehensively, the punishment may be very trivial because of how it is looked at.
We are appealing for the enforcement of the law, as the judiciary has shown significant delays. A case filed today may not be concluded until 2027, which is highly inefficient.
Is that being justice?
We don't see people apprehended because they sexualized a woman. And so the fact that people can do whatever they want to do to you online and no redresses are done in, who else it? Because nobody will tell me anything. Yes, we do have a Cyber Crime Act, which is such a good infrastructure. But if we don't implement it, it is a toothless dog.
Violence has evolved into online spaces, with sexualized attacks on women being the major threat. These attacks have hindered women participation in the democratic spaces for the fear of perpetual attacks. This evolution is also shifting for women in politics, where for long, Facebook has been listed as the most dreaded platform for their attacks. In this new finding, the nature of their attacks has taken write-up forms, and the major platform that threatens women in politics as well as other women is now on WhatsApp. There is a need to create awareness among the citizens on how the attacks deny society good leadership abilities from women and also hinders their democratic participation. There is also a need from the multi-sectoral players to lobby the tech companies involved to ensure safety of everyone online. The companies must adapt regulations to deter these sexualized attacks and list them against the community standards on the online space. The justice system must also step up to ensure cybercrime cases are punishable by law and deliver timely justice. The law should work for everyone, and the process of seeking redress on such matters should not be too complex. This story has been produced by Joseph Oluoch, the lead investigating journalist in this production. Special thanks goes to Daniel Lutaya, who oversaw this production. and the team of journalists who have aided this production, that is Caroline Wambere and David Omandi, for their invaluable support towards actualizing this. I am your narrator, Caroline Wambere. This story has been produced with support from the DW Academy.